Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Well, it's nice to be back. I remember a lot of you, and then some of your faces are new, but it's nice to be back. I've been here a few times now. It's just always it's a joy. It's a joy to be here. But while we were singing, the Lord kept saying a word. I kept hearing the word romance. And, you know, sometimes the Lord, when he gives you just one word, you know, that's a sign to me. This is God speaking to me. And I really believe there's some ladies here that the Lord wants you to know that you're in a season where he's romancing you. And just receive from that. You know, the Lord wants to remind us that it wasn't our idea to come to him. He sought after us first. And he kept coming after us and after us because he wanted us so badly. And then I get it. We catch on, you know, and then we kind of start to respond to the Lord's romance. And he keeps doing it. And I believe that there's times where there's second honeymoons and times where the Lord says, you know, you just didn't get it quite yet. Just how much I love you and how important you are. And honestly, I believe the dynamic duo, those two right there that I met, you and you. I really feel like this word is especially for you two, that the Lord just, he's going to keep after you till you really get it. Just how much you're his favorites and how much he cares about you. And so if that's all you get today is that, God just pointed me out to tell me that I'm his favorite. I feel like the Lord wanted to do that this morning. And so, and this romance keeps going. But today I was going to talk about a download that the Lord gave me about the season that we're in. And so it's different points, and so it's not like a theme. So I'm not talking about one theme, so you have to like jump to the next thing. But I got this. I was looking at all these prophets, and they were saying, oh, this is the word of the Lord for 2023. And I thought, you know what? I don't know that I'm a prophet in the office of prophet, but I said, Lord, why don't you give me something, you know? And so, and I didn't get anything. And then I went to sleep, and while I was sleeping, the Lord gave me a dream, and in that dream, he gave me a download. And then I woke up and I kept writing it down, and I thought, oh, this is really cool. And it was confirmed with, you know, looking at what was going on. So the dream that I had, and so all of you, I want to encourage you that God gives you dreams. So I want you to be encouraged to seek after revelation and be open to revelation. But the Lord showed me a bunch of just normal people, and then there were some ministers that were thrown in there, and they were just walking around, and all of a sudden angels came and started giving these people gift bags, and the gift bags were all different colors, and in the gift bags there were, I saw the word provision. And the people, they were like, oh, thank you. And they were like opening their gift bags up and looking inside. And there were gifts of the Holy Spirit in the gift bags. And they were saying, oh, and they were saying, hey, look what I have. They were going to other people and look what's in your bag. Look what I got. And some of the other people said, oh, I could use some of that. And they said, well, here, have some of this. And they gave out of their bags. And so they were all excited and working together. And the Lord said, this is a year when ministries will be working together like never before. And that this is a time when there's a great awakening. You know, it's started. It has already started. I'm seeing it. But we're working together in love like never before. And so the scripture for that is in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. And it's two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift the other. But woe to the one who is alone and falls and does not help another, have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And so this is a time, I believe, where the jealousy and the build-up, I'm going to build up my ministry, you know, and competition, that we're coming to a time where the Lord wants us all to work together, and there's an anointing in doing that. And we're going to accomplish so much in this time and this season, because the Lord wants to do a whole lot. He wants to do a whole lot. So that was one of them. And then the Lord, he kept giving me all kinds of downloads. And another one was that he said, you know, the battle over the fear of death is coming, and we're going to win that battle in this season. And the Lord kind of showed me how the last 3 years that we've been bombarded with fear, you know, of everything. I remember, you know, it was probably almost exactly 3 years ago when the COVID shutdown started. It was in March. And I remember when we were first allowed to go out to the grocery store, and I went to Giant, and, you know, they usually they have that grocery store music on, you know, that you can listen to. Well, they didn't have that. The music wasn't on, and they had, you know, all these stickers. You had to be 6 feet apart in the masks, and it was so quiet, almost you could hear a pin drop in the grocery store, and there was a big line, and I just remember looking at the people, and you could see in their eyes that fear, you know, and I believe, you know, the enemy tried to put this fear upon us, and he was trying to come against us with that, and I believe the Lord said to me that fear, that we're going to get victory over that fear, that this is a time where this anxiety and the fear, because how there's so many people that have that anxiety. You know, we got that. That was the secondary thing after the fear. And so I just want to, I'm going to pray for this. But, you know, Joyce Myers, I was reading her book on Do It Afraid. And she was saying how in Ephesians 6 that we're to put on the shield of faith, so that we can extinguish those fiery darts. And so this is the season where the Lord is bringing our faith up to a new level. And so that we'll have that shield of faith. And so that those when those darts of fear try to come against us, you know, we're stronger now. You know that after 3 years of some of the things we've gone through, we're stronger now. And we can get over this stuff a little bit better. The Lord has, those of us who have allowed him, he's toughened us up. Because he's got, this is good news, he's got some good things for us to do. But we're going to have to be tough to do it. And so he's toughened us up. And so that fear. John 1, 4 through 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear, it has torment, you know, that torment. And that's what anxiety and the panicky. And he said, and that fear has been made perfect in love. You know, fear not in the Bible. It's found in the Bible 365 times for every day. 365 times. And Joshua was told, remember when Joshua was about to go over into the promised land, and, you know, the Lord kept saying, fear not, you know, go and fear not, fear not. Well, apparently he was saying that because he realized Joshua was gonna have that emotion of fear. And the Lord gave us all kinds of emotions. And so, you know, but yet he said, fear not. You don't have to let that rule you. Hallelujah. You can get dominion over that. That you can get victory over that. It's possible. Hallelujah. And so, I even before I start, I just want us to get our hearts ready, because we I think it was mentioned in worship already, but, you know, I want us to, if you have any torment from anxiety, or fear or just worry, I believe that the Lord is here today and he can just cut that off. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. He can just cut that off and set us free. And so before we even start, I'm going to pray over that. So let's pray. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you that your Holy Spirit is here. And Lord, that you can cut off any anxiety. We just say anxiety has to go in Jesus' name. That fear has to go in Jesus' name. Panic attacks have to go in Jesus' name. Worry has to go in Jesus' name. Depression, oppression, all of that, it needs to go in Jesus' name. And we have the victory. Hallelujah. We don't have to live in fear. We can live and we can maybe experience it, but we don't have to live with it. Hallelujah. And so I just want to encourage you, this is what the Lord is saying, that we have won the victory over fear and fear of death in this season that we're living in. And so, you know, God's the one who gives us the emotions, but he also says, fear not, fear not. You know, we have emotions of happiness. We have emotions of all kinds of things. I'm so on the verge of telling a story about my husband. I guess I will. And it's a different emotion. Oh, my gosh. Because people, you know, they think that, you know, it's not that just serving the Lord is just like in your brain. But the Lord's given us emotions to be happy and to be happy in the Lord and all of that. And I remember I was pastoring a church. A mainline church. This was probably 10 years ago. And the pastor that was there before me told all the congregation, you know, when you go into the sanctuary, that the sanctuary is a holy and reverent place, and that when you go in there, you should be very, very quiet and listen to the organ music and don't talk and, you know, just come in and find your seat and quietly sit down and be reverent unto the Lord. Well, my husband did not get that memo, and from the first Sunday I was there, he would go in, and, you know, he'd talk to people, and he'd laugh and tell jokes to people as he went by the pew, and then he was in the choir, and he would, like, get the choir all riled up, you know, and there were a bunch of, like, kind of elderly ladies who sat in front of them, and I don't know if you've ever been in an old church where they'd have a funeral parlor that would give them the fans that were like paper fans. Well, they had a whole bunch in the choir, and so my husband would sit behind these ladies and fan them, and then he'd whisper, "I'm your biggest fan," and he whispered. And he'd get them laughing, and they didn't like that. And so they had a board meeting, and one of my first board meetings, and they called me, you know, they said, "Well, we do have one problem. We really like you and your husband, but there's just this one problem." And they said, you know, "We want it to be reverent in the church," and he just comes in and he, like, he's campaigning for some kind of office or something. And they said he just talks to everybody and he tells jokes and he does all this and this one man, it was so funny. He sat there and he said, he's just too happy for us. He's just too happy for us." And so they, you know. They quenched that happy feeling emotion, but you know God's given us emotions. I want you to be happy in church. I think you all are, but you know I think God's going to even make you happier. I think that as we continue in this awakening, this revival that is happening, that churches are going to. If you don't want to be happy in church, I hate to say it, but you're just going to have to be happy, you know, because it's going to happen. And but you know we have different emotions, but we have the ability to respond, and we have that emotion of fear, and we don't have to be afraid of the emotion of fear, because we can have victory over that emotion, because if we couldn't, then the Lord, when they said fear not, he doesn't tell us to do something that we don't have the ability to do. You know, that's not how God works. And so you have, so we prayed, and I just want you to know that you have the ability to be victorious over panic attacks, over anxiety, over all of that. When if it comes upon you, you say, I'm not receiving that. I'm a child of the King, and I have victory over that. You know, the Lord said, don't fear not, and so he wouldn't tell me that if I was supposed to fear. And he gives me, through his Holy Spirit, he gives me the ability to get through that. And so this is a season, the Lord said, we're going to have that ability to have victory over fear. The next thing I'm so excited about, because I never would have thought about it, but the Lord just said this. He said to me, this is the season and the year of the testimony. And I thought, wow, you know, this is the year of the testimony. And it's a year that we're to be ready to share what God has done for us, because the Lord said there's an anointing on your words as you share your testimony in this year, and that there are things attached to your testimony, like signs and wonders and miracles. And when you tell your testimony, there's interhealing as you tell what you've been through, and people that are going through that, they're going to have that healing. When you tell your testimony of healing, there's a healing attached to that. There's that anointing. And so this is a time to really to be ready to tell what God has done for you. I couldn't help it. This first song, you didn't write the lyrics to this. Behold, I was back there, and well, I thought you might have. I don't know. I never heard this song before. But I was just looking at the lyrics to the first song, and it says, the empty filled. And I'm thinking, if you've ever been empty and the Lord Jesus has filled you, you've got a testimony, hallelujah. And the wounded healed. If you've ever been wounded and the Lord has healed you, you've got a testimony to share. The broken back together. If you've ever been in a place of brokenness and the Lord has healed you of that brokenness, then you have a testimony to share. And it says, the poor are blessed. If the Lord has ever blessed you in any way, in any physical, financial way, you know, you have a testimony. The weary given rest. If you've been able to rest in the Lord, and he has given his peace that has just been all over you, you know how that happens sometimes. You know, you've got a testimony to those who are weary. It goes on, and the lost returned. You know, we've all been lost. Yeah. And we've been returned to the Lord. And, you know, just the very fact that the Lord has romanced us and loved us to the place where we've said yes to him, you know, that just that is our testimony. Hallelujah. And so this is the hour for our testimony. It's not the time for great preachers, but it's the time for all of us to be preachers, because we can preach what God has done for us. Amen. You can't deny a testimony. And, you know, after I had gotten this word, I was watching the Asbury. That started with a testimony, you know, the Asbury revival, you know, and then it wasn't great preachers. It was people getting up over and over and giving their testimony. And then I went to see that movie, Jesus Revolution. Well, that was a movie about testimony. Hallelujah. And so this is the hour of the testimony. And as we freely tell what the Lord has done for us, and as we as the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance, you know, all the blessings that we might have put on the back shelf and forgot. Oh, I forgot God did that for me, you know. But as the Holy Spirit refreshes us and refreshes us, our our remembrance and we tell other people, there's going to be such power in our words, you know, such an anointing that you feel the tangible anointing of the Lord, because your words will be powerful and they'll make a difference. And as you tell about your healing, the person's going to be healed. As you tell about how the Lord freed you, that person's going to be freed. As you tell the people about what the Lord has done, it's going to happen to them. And so this is the time of the testimony. You know, I was saying, okay, Lord, you gave me this word, but whenever God gives me a word, I always have to look in the scriptures to say, where is it in the scripture? And so I'm going to read a little bit of a long piece of scripture, but it's a story, so just pretend like I'm reading a story. But it's about a demonic, so it wouldn't be a good bedtime story. But it's a story. It's early in the morning. So Luke 8:26-39. And it says, they sailed to the region of Gennesaret, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, he had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but he lived in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried and fell to his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken the chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," he replied, because many demons had come out of him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs were feeding there at the hillside, and the demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. And when the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. And when those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this to the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of Gennesaret asked Jesus to leave because they were overcome with fear. So the man from whom the demons had gone begged to go with Jesus because he left. And Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." This is the testimony. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. And so, you know, we're commanded. We see it over and over in Scripture. We see it with the Samaritan woman at the well, where she ran into town and told everybody what about Jesus. We're told to give our testimony. There's examples of it in Scripture, you know. And you know, this man, he needed to be set free. Has Jesus ever set you free from anything?
Yeah.
Hallelujah!
Yeah.
You all got a testimony. Whew. And I believe that this is a year where people are going to be set free. And when you give your testimony of how the Lord has set you free of whatever it is that had kept you in bondage, then as you say the words, as you begin to open your mouth, people are going to be set free. Hallelujah. And so God wants to use you, and he wants to use your testimony. And so, you know, I want to pray for some specific things about our testimony this morning. The first one is, and this is, you know, if you don't want to give your testimony, don't receive any of this. But I'm just saying, and it's that God will open the doors for you to share your testimony like never before. And that God will give you the words to say, and the anointing will fall as you share. And courage and boldness will rise up within you to share your testimony when you're nudged, when the Holy Spirit nudges you, even if you don't feel it's the appropriate time or it's the politically correct thing to do. Because there's some times where, you know, that fear has been put on us. Oh, you better back off there. But the Lord wants you to step out. When you feel that nudging of the Holy Spirit, you step out and you tell people what the Lord has done for you. And your testimony, this is another, that your testimony will be accompanied with healings and salvations, signs and wonders and miracles and revival. Hallelujah. So I'm going to pray. So get ready, because if you want to share your testimony, I believe the Lord's going to open the doors up, because that's what he wants to do in this hour. So, Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord, and we make ourselves vulnerable to you. And, Lord, we say yes. We say, yes, we want to be the ones that go out and be among the crowd, among the world, and that we share our testimony, Lord, and that we are open for you to let your anointing fall upon us as the words come out of our mouths that only you can give us to utter, Lord, and that as we give our testimony, Lord, that others will see you, Jesus, that we would represent you well, Lord. And that as we tell about how you helped us, how you healed us, how you set us free, Lord, as we tell others about it, that people will be saved and they will be healed and they will be set free. And Lord, that you would accompany our testimony with signs and wonders and miracles, Lord. And so we say yes to you. We say yes to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You know, testimony, just said, some of you are going through having a testimony right now, and it's a hard place. It's a hard place to be. But I just heard, this is coming up, you don't have a testimony without demonies, you know, without going through the difficulty and the tests, you know, you gotta go through that. And so, but God is with you. God is with you. And you know, when we go through the hard things, if we say, Lord, this is so hard, but I'm going to walk with you through this, and I'm going to trust you that you're going to make something good come out of this, and that you're going to use this in a mighty way. And as we give ourselves to the Lord, I assure you that it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And he's going to use you mightily. So, the next thing is the resurrection of dead dreams. And I felt like the Lord, this night after I had that dream, you know, it just kept coming, you know, this download. And this is a year of resurrecting dead dreams. And even dreams that you might have had 30 years ago, some of us that are old enough to have had dreams I'm old enough to have them 50 years ago, but even the dreams that you could, that the Lord might have given you, and you've like, I put that on a shelf, and I said, well, whatever, Lord, and you forgot it's even there. Well, you're going to be doing some dusting on that shelf, and you're going to come across these dreams, because the Holy Spirit's going to say, go up on that shelf and get that dream back down, and He's resurrecting some of those things that you had hoped for, and you might have thought, I've given up completely on that. You know, last night I was talking to this woman, and she was looking for a man. And she was kind of desperate, like, I need a man now. And you know, it's in God's hands. And I know this other woman who, she gave up on that dream, you know, because she was like that for a year or so. And then she said, I don't think any of them, there's not a man coming, so I'm just putting that on the shelf. And after she put it on a shelf for many years, then what happens? Somebody walks into her life. And the Lord resurrected. She said, I didn't even think I wanted somebody anymore. But they resurrected. But there's dreams of ministry that might have been yours. There's might have been dreams of a business, or dreams of going to school. Whatever the dream was, the Lord has started to resurrect those dreams again. And so be on the lookout for things coming into your mind where the Lord will, you'll remember way back. You remember way back. I remember, I didn't grow up in the church, but one summer, our neighbor asked me to go to church camp for the weekend. And I was around 12 years old, I guess. And we went to church camp, and it was one of those camps where only men could be pastors. But so we were sitting there, and for some reason, they started to introduce pastors. And then they introduced this woman, and they called her a full-time Christian worker. But she did the same thing as pastors, but they weren't allowed to call her a pastor. But they called her, and they said, well, this is so-and-so, and she's a full-time Christian worker. And in my mind, my little 12-year-old mind, I thought, I'd like to be a full-time Christian worker someday. And I forgot all about it. I forgot. And then when I was 30, and the Lord called me to preach and go into ministry, That came right back. I saw myself sitting there as 12 years old and looking at this woman and thinking, I'd like to be a full-time Christian worker someday. And the Lord said, see, that calling has been there. That calling was there since you were a little girl. And I had completely forgotten. And what I'm saying is, you all have a calling on your life. And there might have been some things that you might have thought about years ago. Well, the Holy Spirit's going to start bringing that stuff back again. And don't be surprised when that happens and you realize that, oh, God's putting me in a new direction, but it wasn't really new. It's been there all along, but it's just been on the shelf for a while. Yeah. Hallelujah. So this resurrection of new dreams, and I'm almost done here. The Lord said that lingering issues that have been lingering in our lives for the last several years, that he's working on these lingering, and it's just like that romance word, that lingering word was really strong. And so there's personal things. I want to encourage you that things that you just thought, I just can't get the answer for this. You know, I've been struggling with this for the last 3-4 years, the last 5 years, whatever. I just can't seem to find the solution. And the Lord is saying, don't give up, because he's seen all along what was going on, and the solution is coming. And it might not be exactly what you're thinking, but he's going to get you out of that. Those lingering things and even lingering relationship issues and lingering maybe financial issues or lingering things that you didn't have the wisdom to figure out how to solve them. The Lord in this year, it's a new year of wisdom and a new year of those lingering things being resolved. Hallelujah, because we're coming into this new place. So it's a year, the Lord said, of victory. It's a year of awakening, and that's personal awakening as well as awakening throughout the earth. It's a year of revival. Hallelujah, and it's a good year. It's a good year ahead. And God wants to put you right in the middle of his plans. And so really, the thing we need to do is just say, Lord, whatever. I trust you, Lord, whatever. I trust you, Lord. And to be vulnerable to him. I love that word. To be vulnerable to the Lord touching us and setting us on the right direction and the right path. I felt like, too, real fast, that it's a year of the prodigals coming home. And, you know, I have our daughter came, at 37, she came out of a new age and Unitarian. She was a Unitarian. And she met the Lord last July. She said she was praying, and she had some issues that she still felt guilty about. And she said, I just prayed one day, and she said, I heard a voice, and she said, I know it was Jesus. And he said, you know, I've already forgiven you. Well, it's time for you to forgive yourself. And she said, I got such freedom. And she said, I know it was the Lord. And she is so radical for the Lord right now. In her church, she filled a pew without even just by running around and being excited about the Lord and inviting people to church, because she's just radical now. And I some of the things she says to me, I never would have imagined a year ago. You know, like, Mom, this verse is for you. I'd get a text in the morning. I believe this verse is for you today, Mom, and stuff. And so the prodigals are coming home. And so those ones you've been praying for, you know, the Lord is, he's romancing them too. Because he's heard every prayer that you pray. And they, none of them have hit the wall. They've gone right to heaven. And he's acknowledging those prayers. It's a time of a great time of encounter with the Lord in this season. Hallelujah. It's a good time. It's a good time. Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage you today to get your testimony and be ready to be used mightily by the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com. Or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm taking a well, I'm taking a well right here. I'm taking a well in the valley of my weeping. I'm taking a well in my tears. I'm taking a well.